Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, where we get to meet some people that were members of Lifestyles and hear about their stories and see what they've done. And we've got a great one today. I got a couple that's been here for 10 years and have done a lot of real estate, so it should be interesting to hear. With us today is Karen and Troy Zuccaro out of Spring, Texas. Welcome to the show, guys. Let's talk about you guys. You've done a lot of stuff. Give us an idea of where you're at now. How many apartments have you done, both as leads, as passives? And I know you did one little single family when you got bored one day.
Nothing to do. We did. So we have done three deals of leads, two of them in Houston, one that we just purchased in Tennessee, closed last month. We are also passive investors. That's kind of how we started out originally. We've been in 38 deals over the 10 years. Currently, we're in about 20.
I seem to remember you guys were on the super passives panel at one time, huh?
We were. I think it was 2016 or 17.
And of course, Karen, you've been a super women's investor, whatever they call. What do we call that now? That's a super women,
super real women, estate real estate panel. Yeah.
There we go. You also that. So you've got all kinds of history here with us, and we're glad to have you on today. Why don't we start with you guys in the very beginning? What made you look into real estate? What was going on in your life?
Well, I'll take that one, Dale. Our journey obviously started in 2015, and it was a fluke. You know, I had a buddy in college. He called me up the day before the Lifestyles event that happened in Houston in 2015. And he said, you know, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, nothing. He said, pick you up in the morning. Got a couple of breakfast tacos for us. We're going to go listen to some real estate information. And at the end, we're going to have a beer and listen to the fireside chat. And so I had no idea what Lifestyles was. All I knew was a friend was asking me to go have a beer and a taco at Lifestyles event. And I was in. And so we got there, had a great session, you know, and you know, met a lot of people. And what got us started was it happened to be the event where somebody started talking at the fireside chat about a Lady Bird deed. And, you know, the reaction that I saw from you and, you know, the follow-up reaction from other people was just super impressive. And so at that event, I signed up with that Freedom you know, membership, and that kind of started our journey with Lifestyles.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. This lady had gone to a seminar and learned how to steal real estate from people that were dying. I mean, who teaches a seminar like that? I couldn't even believe it. All right, so you guys got started that year, and what was your initial impression of what you wanted to do?
Well, the initial impression was I was 100% involved initially, and Karen was very skeptical from afar. You know, I went to the 2-day and, you know, you hear the phrase, you know, sometimes you get your hopes and dreams crushed. So you were actually teaching the 2-day. And I remember we were walking across the street, you know, at lunch, you know, to Jason's Deli. And you had shared all this wisdom about, you know, like, you know, debt's not bad. You know, like if you have your house paid off, you know, and you've got all this equity sitting there doing nothing for you, then you're not the sharpest tool in the shed. And if you've got all these 401k assets that are just sitting there, not working for you, you know, not really a good experience. And so I was walking across the street talking to Karen, you know, saying, hey, here's all these things that we're going to do and all these tax savings we're going to have. And she basically stopped me in my tracks and said, we are not doing anything illegal. You know, I'm a CPA. There's no way, you know, that what you're telling me is the right way to move forward. And so, you know, we kind of backed off, you know, trying to do the multifamily after that conversation. And that's when we initially started, you know, looking at single family. So, you know, that was our first, I guess, exposure with the 2-day and, you know, kind of, you know, like the investment journey. At that point, it was just me. that quickly turned, you know, because we actually did a single family. It was a success. We went to one of your goals sessions, and it was like, you know, Karen and I were putting pen to paper, and it was like, if we really wanted to, you know, retire ourselves in a reasonable period of time, we needed to move into multifamily. And at that point, she really started getting involved. And, you know, that's when, you know, I guess our net worth really took off, you know, and our investment strategy completely changed.
So, Karen, I love pessimists. They're my favorite because I'm one of them. But I have to ask you this. As a CPA, how did you think what we were doing is illegal? As legal as can be.
You know, yeah, it is. I mean, but you hear, like, you know, Troy calls me and talking about depreciation, and I'm, you know, obviously I know what that is based on my background, my educational background. But, like, I think if you just have never thought about it and really applied it, I mean, just the whole concept that you can do this, you know, mostly tax-free, is just kind of foreign to most people, even people that, you know, do have an accounting background. So, you know, I'm the one that, you know, didn't want to be in that gray area and all those kind of things. So
it's amazing to people that the government actually allows people to earn tax-free income, they would call it tax-deferred income, but you know as well as I do, if you do it right long enough, you can defer it all the way till you're dead and then it just disappears. So it becomes tax-free.
Right?
Yeah, you know, defer, die was been my goal since I started, right? But the reality is that most people have no idea how money really works, how the rich people do it, and yet, you know, it's right there in front of you. Let's talk about this. What was since you were the pessimist, did you go to the two-day, Karen?
I did. So when Troy went to the expo that year, I think it was in January, so he didn't get me to the two-day until August. And so when I went to the two-day after that, I mean, we upgraded to the preferred membership, and I was on board then. I think I just needed to see everything laid out and hear it all. Not saying I wasn't still somewhat skeptical then, but I understood.
Going to the expo, you think about it, you go there and you see 4,000 or 5,000 people doing the same thing. You go, well, you know, probably hard to fake that. Did he pay? You know, if you go to a meeting, there's like 5 people, you pay 5 people to be there and give their testimony. It's pretty hard to get 5,000 people to go there and lie. Let's talk about, Karen, what caught your attention at the two-day. You know, you've got a little, you know, financial background. What caught your attention about what we're doing here that you thought really made sense?
I mean, I think for us at the time, I mean, Troy still had a W-2 job, still does. I sometimes think he just likes to work. But so offsetting that, you know, that, I mean, we had a, you know, big income tax bill every year. You know, they took a lot out of your check. We pay a lot more at the end of the year. And just the thought that we could, with me becoming a real estate professional, that we could offset that. I mean, that in itself is a huge amount of income beyond what we would be making in the actual real estate itself, right? So
yeah.
For us, that was very attractive.
There's no doubt. I've gotten, just for sideline, for people who don't understand this, I've gotten as much as $1.2 million back on my tax return before. Now, obviously, I had to have paid it in. I made some money to have to pay that in, but conversely, I got it back. So it's an interesting thing. So let's talk about when you came out of the two-day, guys. What was your initial plan? So, you know, just because it's always interesting to see what people come out thinking they're going to do and then look forward and see what they actually did. What was your plan when you came out of the two-day?
So initially, our plan was to invest passively for at least a year or so. At the time, we still had kids that were in school and a lot of things going on. And, you know, we knew that eventually we wanted to move into the lead role. But at the time, it's a full-time job to be a lead. So I just didn't feel like I had the time to focus on it. So we did for a year and a half, we did passive investing. We got into 11 deals passively in the first 11 months that we were preferred members. So went that route. And then, you know, probably a year and a half in, we decided, you know, to do the lead thing and started looking for a property. And as you know, that's a whole process that can take some time. So
what did you think of the passive thing? I mean, you did it, and then you decided to do something different. What was it that changed your mind?
So, I mean, we still invest passively as well. But I think for us, I mean, knowing, you know, the goals and where we wanted to be with our, you know, with our net worth and the legacy we wanted to leave. And we just felt like that was going to be the best path to get there. It also, I mean, interested me, you know, the aspect of being the lead and, you know, running this business. You know, my background's business. Joy has a lot of background in business as well. So we kind of tend towards that anyway, I think, and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, maybe just to jump in, what I would say is when we first, you know, started, you know, with the preferred investor program, you know, Karen and I were really signed up for, you know, going the passive route. I don't even think we had a twinkle in our eye that we were going to do move into a lead type role, or that Karen was. And you know, that's because, you know, we had other responsibilities, right? I mean, I'm still W-2 full time. You know, I don't have time to, you know, really be, you know, rolling up my sleeves in real estate, you know, back then, and neither did Karen. But after doing it for, I'm going to say, a year, and especially Karen, I'm going to give her a lot of credit. You know, she really immersed herself, you know, with a lot of the, you know, events, the road trips, you know, the happy hours. And she really, I'm going to say, fell in love with, you know, I'm going to say real estate. And I still remember the day I was working and she was on an educational road trip. And we had started talking about being, you know, a lead. And she called me and said, I just found our first property. I'm like, what? I didn't know we were that serious. And she said, you know, I'm at the educational road trip right now. I'm talking with Curtis Haynes. The property's not actually for sale yet, but it might be in 6 months. And this is the one I want to start with. And from there, you know, she just really enjoyed, you know, getting engaged with real estate from start to finish, from operations to, you know, capital improvements. And that really started the journey from, you know, I guess the lead perspective.
So, Karen, what attracted you so much to this? I mean, obviously, you were like a moth attracted to light. What attracted you so much to this?
So I think a lot of it is, you know, we already talked about the tax benefits and all of that, but the organization of Lifestyles and the people, and, you know, I did not have real estate background, but the education that was provided and the people that you meet that are like-minded and are always willing to share what they know, it's just an abundance mentality. So I think that really drew me in and, you know, allowed me to learn as, you know, as I was a passive, kind of learn going along and being involved in a lot of the events. So I think that played a big role in it. I like the real estate piece of it. I like the, you know, honestly, I like the acquisition and the CapEx more than I do the day-to-day operations. But it's all, you know, you have to be able to handle all the parts of it, right?
I designed it to do this, to fit different people. In other words, some people are just knowledge-based people. They're like educational people. They go to college for 14 degrees and get out and get a job, you know, sacking groceries. Some people are let me get at it type of people. Just get out of my way. Let me do it. You know, physically got to get something done. And all they need is somebody there to watch what they're doing and give them some instruction here and there. So there's both ends of that there, but there came to be a third part of Lifestyles I didn't even realize was going to happen. And that is the camaraderieship and the family feeling that has occurred. Which one do you think you got the most benefit from? The education, the hands-on, or the family of members and friends that and networking that you developed?
I think the network for me, I would say probably the biggest benefit. I mean, obviously we've gained a lot of personal friends, but it just, like I said before, just the sharing of information. You know, I talk to people, other members on a daily basis, other leads, you know, we share information, we share ideas, you know, ways to better ourselves personally, our properties, our investments, you know, to make more money for our investors, all of those things. And I think that's not something that you find in every organization. There's a lot of real estate organizations out there. I don't think you find that everywhere.
You know, I would also say that it probably depends on where we were on the journey, on where, which was the number one. You know, I think that the material and the education programs, that was super key, you know, to Karen building up her confidence and knowledge of the real estate, you know, industry and how to run operations. And so at that point in time, what I saw evolve was absolutely she was super smart to begin with. You know, I mean, she had a finance and accounting background and then got a CPA and she was successful. So that was already there. But, you know, her ability to take the education that was provided by Lifestyles and then really learn a whole new discipline, that was key. But then once she got the first property, what evolved was I think the relationships and, you know, the partnership with all the other leads. And when there was a problem, you know, when you have your first property, every problem that you have the first time, that's the first time for you. But there was not one situation that unfolded, you know, over that first year that she couldn't pick up the phone or do a text chat and somebody would respond and said, I've already faced that, you know, and here's, you know, what we did. And whether it was something that we would do the exact same or we learned from that and took a different course, you know, that, you know, takes it to the next level. And I think at that point, you know, the relationships became number one.
I like that explanation. Never thought of that. All right, I think we're going to go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, we'll start discussing your properties and what you thought about each one of those. So we'll be right back with Karen and Troy Zuccaro and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Karen and Troy Zuccaro out of Spring, Texas, and they're talking about their real estate experience. Let's talk about the first deal. Now, Karen, was that deal you found there on that road trip the one you did buy, or was that just sparked you into thinking you're ready to buy?
No, we actually did buy that one. I was attracted to that property. It was a smaller property. It's 32 units. There was not a ton of deferred maintenance. First deal as a lead, that was attractive to me. I thought and was right that that would allow me to, you know, get in there first time and still, you know, it didn't have so much deferred maintenance and CapEx spend that I wouldn't, you know, have the ability to be able to learn kind of as I went to in the operations side of it. So yeah, we purchased that in 2018 in Houston. And we purchased it as a yield play, a 5 to 7 year hold. And then about 2 months after we took over, the city decided to start this big street infrastructure construction, replacing water and sewer lines and tearing up the street and a lot of things that just significantly impacted our occupancy, our ability to lease apartments, to retain residents. So we had to get super creative with our strategies. We were able to utilize the mentors and consultants from Lifestyles to come in and help us and give us tips on how we could, you know, mitigate that and how we could navigate that journey. And that construction ended up going on. The city had a lot of problems with the project. It ended up going on for, I think it was almost 2 years. And so we were kind of recovering from that. And then we all know what happened in 2020. So it's just kind of one of those things that were back to back to back. However, you know, I said going in, it was a yield play. We did not project any cash out refi or anything like that early. we actually ended up in 2021 being able to do a cash out refi and returning 40% of the investment to our passive investors, despite all of those things that were working against us in the beginning. So I think, you know, real estate is forgiving, but we also had to put in a lot of work to make sure that we were doing our part to work through all of those things that were thrown at us.
What part of town was that property in?
It's in Southeast Houston.
Southeast, okay.
Near Hobby.
So you ran into some headwinds that was pushing you back on this thing. How long before you did your second deal? You did a cash out refi. Did you do that before or after you got into your second deal?
So, ironically, it was right about the same time. So 2021, we had started our cash out refi and then got under contract on our second deal. So the refi, I think, went through in July, and we closed on our second deal in September of 21.
How large was the second property?
Second one is 80 units.
Was it close to the first one or not?
It is not too far. Yeah, it's Southwest Houston, so you know, maybe 20 minutes, depends on the traffic.
Yeah, you didn't get any economics of scale is where I was going with that on the smaller one.
Right.
So did you keep the smaller one then also?
We did. Yeah, we did, since we had just refied. But yes, that was going into the second one. We knew we wanted something larger, that we could have full-time staff, you know, that we could have the economies of scale there. So we knew we wanted something larger. The smaller one was good, a good first property, but not something that, you know, that we ideally wanted to, didn't want to keep buying smaller properties.
Right. So what did you do on the third one?
Third one, all of them have been about 3 years apart. So the third one we closed on just last month in December, it's 193 units. And it is in Knoxville, Tennessee, actually. So we moved outside of the Houston market.
Now that's a swing. Tell us about that. How did you find that property? How do you manage that property? Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah. So originally, you know, we started looking in Tennessee because in Houston, we had seen just exponential increases in our insurance and our property taxes. And so everything, all the deals we were looking at in Houston, I mean, the numbers didn't make sense. You know, we just couldn't make anything make sense. So we started doing some research, you know, looking at what areas of the country are landlord friendly and, you know, have, you know, positive net migration, you know, good economic, good jobs, things like that, and landed on Tennessee. Luckily, Lifestyles had and expanded their realty group to Tennessee, and we were really fortunate to work with Cindy there in Tennessee. And we were looking probably for about a year. During that time, I mean, this has been, you know, 2023 and into 24. You know, we all know the market has not been that great. So, I mean, we looked at a lot of properties. We analyzed a lot of properties, got best and final on several, and just, you know, we're not willing to overpay. So we had to be patient. So finally got this one under contract near the end of last year and closed in December.
How many units was this one?
193.
Oh, okay.
So this one's a good
doubled
size.
Doubled up again.
Good size for economy scale.
Looks like you doubled each time. That's good. I think that's the way I did it also. It's a good way to grow. So let's talk now about raising capital. That's an interesting concept. You've never done it before. You come into a place and now you got to raise capital to do these deals. How hard was it for each of these properties? And did you find that it changed, you know, like the pandemic? Did that wipe out your ability to raise capital or not? Or, you know, let's go through each one. How hard was it to raise capital in the first one when you knew nobody?
I mean, the first one wasn't that hard. Obviously, it was a smaller deal, so it was a smaller capital raise. I didn't have a problem. I think we have 15 investors in that first deal. Honestly, I haven't had a problem with any of them, surprisingly enough, even after the pandemic. I think
so
some of it
I'm
is.
I'm trying to get this out to people that are they're sitting out here on the outside that don't understand what we do. How do you get people to invest with you? And I'm asking it only so people, I know how you do it, but so people out there can understand. How do you get these people to invest with you? What do you do, say, how does it work that you get people to give up their life savings to go into your deals with you?
Right. So obviously everybody that invests with us is a Lifestyles member. They have, you know, the same education that we have, so that they understand they're protected by the white paper. For us, I mean, I've mentioned before, I'm very involved in going to the local meetings. I even a couple years ago started, you know, traveling around to some of the nationwide Lifestyles events to get to know people in person. I think that's important. I think for me, if I'm going to invest with somebody, I mean, I want to have been able to look them in the eye or have a conversation with them and understand their background. I think people understand. I mean, we shared our business background, and now that we're on the third deal, you know, we do have somewhat of a performance track record, and there's other passives that they can talk to that have been in deals with us that know how we communicate. Like, that's something that's very important to us. We always get our reports out within 30 days of month end, things like that, that, you know, that's important as a passive. You want to be looking at those things, and you want to know that your lead that's in charge of this, you know, multi-million dollar asset is on top of things.
Let's talk about in this scenario here, guys. What about your kids? What do they see in all this? And your family, for that matter, for everybody around you?
So we have two grown daughters. One is married. The other's going to be married in about 3 weeks.
Well, congratulations.
So, they are. Yeah, thank you. Our final financial responsibility or commitment that we have. I think we're about to be somewhat financially free, right?
That's what you think. That's what you think. Wait till they start having kids.
Well, we have one grandchild, so yeah. So we have grown children, right? They both are young professionals, you know, starting in their careers. Neither one have really dived into the real estate, but they are very interested. In fact, our youngest that's about to get married and her fiance have on their goals for 2025. You know, they want to, you know, learn more about Lifestyles and about what we do. So our hope is that our children learn a lot sooner than we did, what real estate can do for them to benefit them. Troy and I were, you know, mid 40s by the time we figured it out. And had we known, you know, 25 years earlier, we would be a lot further along than we are now. So our hope is that they learn from us and that they're better than us, right?
Yeah, what I can say is that they're both of my daughters. They're beautiful. They're awesome. And they're very much interested in learning, you know, like what we've done and what we've, you know, seen. You know, it's a really great relationship where, you know, we can talk about, you know, almost any topic. And the good news is Karen and I are an open book, right? I mean, they feel like they can ask us about any topic and we'll be upfront and honest. And we've shared finances with them. You know, one of the things that's interesting is, you know, we didn't find Lifestyles until we were, let's say, 45. And if you take all the assets that we had accumulated in the first 45 years that Karen and I were, you know, alive, you know, that was, we thought that was impressive. But within a little over 5 years in getting in with Lifestyles, we doubled that. And that was all based on, you know, learning real estate and learning how to deploy the assets more correctly than what we had done before. And so we learned that ourselves, you know, through the educational program at Lifestyles. Now we're able to bestow that wisdom to them, and they're willing to listen and understand. And so that's just, you know, it's a joy that, A, we have that type of relationship where they can ask us anything and we're free to open up and share, you know, those type of items. And, you know, they're willing to, you know, then act upon that. And so, like, when we saw, you know, like they shared with us, you know, like our soon-to-be son-in-law and youngest daughter, you know, like their goals for next year, we were glad to see something like that on there.
Excellent. That is good to see. All right. Well, guys, I want to really thank you for coming on and for everything you guys have done, to all the different things you've come in and shared, everybody. Thanks again for today. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.